File Tully, consultingtycoon.com. Today I'm speaking with John Logar from Brisbane, Australia. Now, John saw me speak on a video and he jumped into the local business opportunity and has generated some amazing results. In this interview, you're going to hear John's simple plan to generate $10,000 a week from local business. He's going to reveal to you the exact niches he targeted. He's going to show you the process he went through to land his clients. And we're talking some fairly decent sized clients, $40,000 to $50,000 from a single client. Now, in 7 weeks, John generated $65,355, and about 9 weeks into his adventure, he generated over $100,000. The cool thing is, John doesn't have a website. Now, John's going to be speaking at Bootcamp along with me August 11 and 12 here in Sydney. So if you like what you hear today, you're going to love what we have in store for you there. Check out the event at consultingtycoonbootcamp.com for more info. Now let's listen in.
And it's really funny. Clients were asking me, you know, I'd see their websites and I'd say, look, you know, you need to change the way, you know, this is a shopfront window to your market. And if you don't look right to your prospective customer, then, you know, you just create all sorts of issues and create barriers for yourself. So you need to change what your website looks like, or you need to adapt to what your market is looking for that adds value to them when you're sharing information. So I got into designing websites. And so I, you know, went down the path of, if I was going to design websites, I need to learn how to do that a little bit. So I just went and learnt WordPress. I bought some courses and took myself through WordPress and started building WordPress sites for clients. Yeah. It was really funny. I sat there and I thought, why am I spending 10 hours building a website when I could go and hire somebody who probably knows this like the back of their hand,
yeah,
tell them what to do, and they'll spit it out to me in a few hours, you know?
Sure.
So I started outsourcing, and I started using Odesk and Elance, and then the penny dropped for me sitting and saying, well, I'm outsourcing for my clients. Why aren't I outsourcing for my interests? You know, why aren't I my number one client? You know, so then I sat there and thought, you know, this is crazy, because I've been dabbling in the niche market. You know, I've got a few, I've got quite a number of properties online, which are all affiliate links and AdSense stuff and lead gen stuff, all the usual stuff that we all get into. But it was not, it's not to me, for me, it's not structured enough in relation to build it like a proper business, treat it as if it was a proper business rather than going, oh, here's a hot market, build a property, you know, generate some capital out of that. The more properties you build, the more pillars, the more money, you know, that sort of philosophy.
Yeah,
So it kind of got, I sat there and I thought, you know, I tell all this stuff to people when I really should be consulting to myself.
Mate, I think honestly that's like 90% of the people I talk to, that's their own problem, is they know everything, like what to do. They can advise everyone else what to do, and then you look at what they're actually doing and they're making all the exact same mistakes that they're advising other people not to do.
Exactly, yeah. So I sat there, I sat down for a little bit and I thought, I'm a full-time marketer, you know, and I've worked for myself probably for the last 25 years, and I've traveled the world. I've done a lot of speaking engagements and I've had several different types of marketing businesses. So I've been in the game for quite some time, but my whole thing was, how can you simplify processes and how can you engage people easier, and how can you, you know, what is the biggest hurdle that most people face is, one, getting started, but two, they destroy themselves before they even get to the starting gate. You know, when they're always consciously thinking about what the client's thinking about.
Yeah.
You know, rather than sitting there saying, well, you know, thinking on the, you know, what's the client looking for, not what are they thinking about, or what are they going to think about you, you know? It's really about what they're after, that they need, you know, that people need to have their focus on. So I don't talk to people about SEO and that sort of stuff. My whole focus is, and probably I often ask, but it's really simple when I talk to people. I'll just sit there and say, look, you know, I've been doing the business marketing for years and I'm really fascinated how businesses do business. But one of the things that really fascinates me is what people think their best customers are.
Yep.
And, you know, and so what would be an ideal client for your business? And people just start rambling on about, you know, well, we want clients like this, and they want, you know, we want them to spend this amount of money with us, and we want them to stay with us for this amount of time. And so they build a picture for me about who exactly they want as a customer. And then, you know, my question goes, well, you know, what if you had a system that you could just turn on like a tap, but totally focused on generating clients just like that?
Yeah, and they're like, wow, can we do that?
Can we do that, you know? So, and then to me, that's the opener, you know? So you sit there and then I can talk about, well, you know, we can do search engine optimization. We can look at more direct response with your website. We can look at the information that you're sharing. You know, how are you engaging people when they find you online? And then we look at, you know, direct prospecting, you know, using the internet, using offline strategies. So, it can, you know, for me, it can go anywhere. A consulting contract can really go anywhere. What struck me was the penny drop with when I was watching the videos was the scalability and leverage opportunity.
Yeah.
In outsourcing everything, you know, if I understand and develop a strategy, and then I can plug the modules to assist with the implementation of a strategy without actually physically having to go through that whole process, then that'll enable me to work with more people at the same time.
Yeah, most definitely.
And then generate more revenue. And then with that, I can scale how I want to scale and say, right, well, you know, this is how much revenue I want, but I already have a purpose for that revenue, which now I'm investing in the online stuff, which leverages, you know, your income in other areas. So, you know, like you say, I'm using this business or this middleman marketing model to supplement my passive investment, you know, my superannuation or lifestyle investment, you know.
Exactly.
I guess that's where it struck a chord. And I sat down, I think after I watched whilst I was actually watching the first video, I did that. I just went and I was on Google and just, you know, quickly did a search and thought, oh, I'll just whack this up. And, you know, sat there and thought about this architect, gave him a call, you know, found out a little bit about them, you know, the types of business or types of clients that they were dealing with and types of houses that they designed or buildings that they designed. And, you know, the receptionist was fantastic. She just blurted out everything in 20 minutes. And then I could just feed it back to them in the email. And I just took snapshots of search results and where they were and who their competitors were, and just gave them a really basic understanding of why it's important to actually be professionally placed on the internet, to expose yourself professionally to your prospective market. And I put that site up, and I ranked that site within 24 hours for his locality. And I said, here's a site that I just put up just to show you that you can actually move up the ranks, you know, from being down in page 5, we're actually now on page 1. And on on the second page, like on the About Me, I just put, you know, this is who I am. I'm an internet marketing strategist, you know, helping businesses target highly profitable clients for their business. If you're interested in this website, come and, you know, if you're interested in this page 1 rank website, give me a call. Well, he actually went to the website because I saw that he'd popped onto the site through analytics. Yep. and he obviously saw the second page, and he rang me to actually, it was almost like a bit of an adversarial call as opposed to a, you know, thanks for letting me know.
Yep.
Like, who have you been speaking to, you know? and it just started from there. And he says, oh, look, you know, okay, I need, you know, come into my office and sit down. I said, well, it's going to cost you $1,000 because you're going to have to fly me to Sydney and put me up at the Marriott at Circular Quay. And I was kidding, you know, like I was joking about it. And he was the wheels were ticking over. Like, he was considering how he was going to do this. And I said, look, it's okay. We can do it on Skype. That'll only cost you $950, though.
Yeah.
And then he laughed. We sort of settled down after that, and we just had a conversation. And then, he was a pretty pragmatic sort of a guy. And I kind of knew what he needed before, you know, based on the conversation I had with his assistant and the nature of their business and the nature of their industry. I kind of understood, you know, what he actually needed in relation to using the internet as an attraction strategy. Yeah. So I was able to, you know, pretty much lay it out for him on the spot.
Fantastic. Well, look, I want to get quite deep into the exact process you've gone through. I sent out an email to my list and got a bunch of questions for you.
Mm-hmm.
But let's back up a second. I'll first officially welcome you to the call. I'm speaking with John Logar here. And John, welcome to the interview today. I sneakily started recording while you were talking then.
Thanks, Kyle. I appreciate that.
So look, yeah, in a moment, I want to get into exactly how you've been able to get the amazing results you've got and really lay out the process for everyone. But first, can you share with us some of what you've been able to achieve over just the past few weeks, I think it's been?
Yeah, I'd say it's now about 7 weeks in from this project, and I call it a project because I originally watched a couple of videos from the Fast Web Formula events that you did with James Schranko, talking about local business marketing. And for me, my consulting to clients was always basically very specifically focused on a specific project or looking at sales process or outcome. And it involved using the internet and offline marketing strategies to generate their projected outcomes in relation to their revenue and growth of their business. So I sat there and whilst I was listening to the videos, the penny dropped for me in one, being able to scale my consulting business, and at the same time being able to massively leverage what I do. And so it occurred to me that I needed to basically consult to myself and treat myself like, you know, I would treat a client. So I would ask questions like, well, if I was looking for an ideal client, who would it be? How much would they invest? What do I want as my monthly revenue target? And so I put together a really basic sales plan, and that sales plan was to say I need 10 grand a week, and that was just a figure that popped out of the hair, out of the air. And so for 10 grand a week, I need to find clients who are going to invest a minimum of $10,000 in my services. That was my whole marketing plan, basically, or business plan. So I thought about that, and whilst I was watching the video, when the penny dropped, I thought, you know, let's go for a niche market. And for whatever reason, architectural design firms came in my head. Architects tend to drive around in Saabs and Porsches, and, you know, they design beautiful homes and buildings, and they tend to work at the upper end of town, and their clients invest, you know, sometimes tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars in their work. So they've got a great potential client prospect structure. So I thought, interesting niche market. And funnily enough, the architectural world, they're not great marketers. Surprisingly, you know, even though they're design focused, if you look at a lot of their websites and if you look at how they market to the outside world, most of their business is won by tender and referral. It's not actually they're attracting people who are looking for their services online. So I just thought, you know, what a great opportunity, because of the prolific effect that the internet is having on marketing these days, and on businesses. I thought, well, let's, you know, here's a target market that knows it needs to represent itself professionally, but isn't doing it in a way that can leverage their own opportunities. So I very quickly registered. I looked, I geo-modified a domain, so it was like Architectural Design Sydney,
yep.
And found that architecturaldesignsydney.com was available. So I registered the domain. I put a WordPress website up. I used a free theme with architectural images. I used I created a 30-second Animoto video on why you should, you know, it was just basically architectural design and, you know, contact architecturaldesignsydney.com. It was very, very basic. So the video took me all of 5 minutes to produce using Animoto's services. And then just stuck an About Me page, and the About Me page was essentially me introducing myself as an internet marketing strategist, and thanks for coming to visit my page one ranked website, and if you're interested in marketing to clients for your architectural service, then you need to contact me. And then there was a privacy policy, and I just did some very specific search engine optimization using some basic plugins that WordPress provides. The whole exercise physically took me about 3 hours, and in that 3 hours, that also includes me calling the architectural firm that I found on page 5 of Google with a blank coming soon website page. And so so I rang them, you know, just to see who they were, what they were like, roughly their size, to get a gauge of the type of work. They've been around for about 30 years. They were fairly well respected. 100% of their business was referral based, and they've been designing their website for 8 months, and it was still coming soon. So to me, that showed that that wasn't really that important to them. You know, at that stage, obviously they were considering it, but whatever process they were going through wasn't very compelling for them and wasn't very important. So I basically did some research results on their local area and picked two main keywords and found that there were about 8,000 searches for geo-modified architectural services for his area, and just put a really simple PowerPoint presentation together. So I took a snapshot, a screen print of the PowerPoint, and put it into the video. Into the email that I sent him. And my email was very, very basic. So it was just an introduction to say, I think I was just trying to find it here while I was sitting here with you. I basically said that, look, right now there are 9,000 people searching for your services online, you're missing out on a huge potential of customers because you're basically sitting in no man's land on page 5, I thought that you should understand a little bit about what's out there and the opportunity you have ahead of you with the internet. And that was basically it in the actual email. The slides were there to show him or demonstrate to him. I had a slide picture of the website. The actual website had, in the space of about 6 or 7 days, it had about 90 visitors, which really surprised me. And about 15% of those came from mobile phone searches. Yeah, so right. I thought that was really interesting. So I actually printed the stats. I used a WordPress plugin called StatPress that gave me up to the minute stats on the site, and I printed that and then put that on the actual slide presentation as well. And I sent the email off to him. That was basically it. And all of that took me about 3 hours. To find the domain, to research the market, to make the call and find out a little bit about what they were doing and who they were, to develop the site very quickly. And the funny thing is, even after going through that process, my first thought was, I could pay somebody $30 to build this site for me. I don't need to invest 4 hours building this niche site. I can find somebody on Odesk that'll upload a WordPress site, put a free theme on, and do exactly what I did with the plugins for $30. So since then I've actually done that. But all it was thinking that, okay, well, I'm just going to put this out there and then see what happens. And I think it was about 6 o'clock in the morning when I sent the email. I got a phone call about 9:45 that morning from the architectural firm, and it was not the type of call that you would expect from a prospect. It was more of a disgruntled call. It was more like who the hell are you and what the hell are you doing? How do you know all this stuff about my business, and who have you been speaking to, and all that sort of stuff. And one of the questions he asked me is, has anybody else seen that website that you put up on Google? And I said, I developed that site around your industry or around your niche to see if I could get there to page one quickly. And obviously I could. And I think the reason why he asked that question is he actually went to the website and he went on page two and saw that I was offering it to any architect who could come along, basically. So he was interested in the actual site. So he said, look, okay, after an initial conversation about, what his thoughts were and just basically introducing myself and why I did what I did, he says, well, look, I need you to come and speak to me. And I said, well, it's going to cost you $1,000 to do that because you're going to have to pay for an air ticket from Brisbane to Sydney, and I want to stay at the Marriott at Harbour at Circular Quay. And I just went quiet. And the phone went quiet as well, and I could just hear him ticking over, thinking that he was actually going to do this. And I interrupted him very quickly, saying, "Look, I'm only kidding. We can do the call over Skype and see each other face to face. That call's only going to cost you $950." And so that kind of broke the ice, and we made a time to make that call. And I pretty much had an idea of what he needed based on the previous conversation. I went through a few things with him, and it just turned into. He just asked me straight out, how much is this going to cost me? And I turned around and said, look, your investment's going to be $6,000 for the site and $1,500 a month for the search engine optimization and some basic reputation management with building profiles so that when somebody searches for his firm, they find him and not, fresh air. And that was it. He said, straight after that, that's great. What are we going to do? Send him an invoice, and he was in.
So
from that experience, I sat there and I did the same. I'm in Brisbane and I'm watching this video and I'm talking about local business marketing, and my first prospect, I go and prospect somebody in Sydney. So I wasn't sitting and thinking, hey, I can, I should be looking at my back door. But I sat there and I thought that was a little bit silly, and it was a bit impulsive, and I don't know why I chose Sydney, but it just came to me in that moment when I was watching the video. So I did the same thing for an interior decorator firm here in Brisbane, and they came on board for about $17,000 worth of services. I did the same with another funny. I'm a big believer in. Prospecting in multiple ways. I feel that if you prospect people in multiple ways, then you open the door to multiple opportunities, essentially. So the more strategies you have in place, the more chances you've got of capturing something. And so I talk to people all the time, and I go out, and there's business services I use, and like everybody does, you got your dentist, your accountant, all that sort of stuff. And I had a problem with my laptop, and so what occurred was I went into this computer place to have my laptop repaired, and the owner of the business just happened to be there at the counter when I was bringing my laptop in. And, I was just having a bit of a chat, and I said, look, how's the business going? He said, oh, business is pretty full on. And he says, but this is not really our primary business. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. He says, oh, well, we run an IT support services business where we build intranet and help desk services and take care of IT solutions for corporate, government, not-for-profit organizations. And I said, oh, how's that going? So, oh, it's going okay, but, we said, like everybody, we'd like to do more, and we're trying to scale up and bring on more clients. And I said, so, how do you do that? And he said, oh, we normally, door knock it. And he said, so, how much time do you invest in internet marketing? Do you prospect for your clients online as well? And then he kind of went quiet a little bit, and he thought about it. He thought, it's really funny. We're in the software IT business, and we don't really do a lot of marketing online. And so, look, there was a monitor at the counter, and he said, look, have you got the internet here? He said, yep. And I said, look, just take a quick look. Just type in, the name of your software company. So we type in the name of the software company. And generally, you'll find a result for a specific name on the first page of Google. In his case, we didn't.
Wow.
Surprisingly. And the funny thing was, the only result that we found was actually an employee of his who had a LinkedIn profile, who used the company name as a reference for their employment. And that was on like the eighth listing on page one, right? And I'm sitting there saying, just type in my name. On the computer, just to show him. And when he typed my name in the in Google, I own the first five pages of Google for my name. And that's just because I've got multiple profiles, and I've got YouTube channels, and there's videos, and there's a whole bunch of things that I've done to create a presence online. So I said, if somebody was looking for you or for your company, you'd want to at least have three or four or five listings on the front page of Google, so the only person they see is you, rather than a competitor. And in his particular case, there were three listings for competitors on a search for his business name. And I thought, and he sort of taken aback by that whole thought process. And I sat there and I said, oh, look, what's the name of your website? And the name of the website was not the name of the company. So if somebody was searching for the company, they wouldn't find them. you know, because they were a bit quirky with the domain name. And I said, you know, to me, if I was in business and I was investing, you know, I said, what's an average client invest in your services? He said, well, you know, it could be $20,000 a month. It could be, you know, it could be $2 or $3 million a year. And I said, if I was spending that kind of money with a company, I'd, you know, and I wanted to know a little bit about the organization that I was dealing with, I would do a search. And if I couldn't find you based on what we've looked at today, then, you know, that may create some doubt in my mind about dealing with you as a company. And that's no reflection on your ability to deliver your services, but if you can't match what you're representing to the market, then, you know, when people spend that kind of money, they do a little bit of research. And he sat there and thought, holy cow, you know, we're missing out on opportunities. And so just in that brief conversation, he said, look, I need you to sit down with my partner. You know, 2 days later, I met with his partner in the boardroom, and you know, and they're looking to me like about 40 to 50 grand worth of investment. Initially it's about 15, but it'll be much bigger because there are other things that they're interested in doing along the way. So even prospecting somebody in their business is, you know, when you ask questions about how they're going and what they're doing, and I've done it to people in coffee shops and personal trainers, and you know, it's amazing how much people open up to you when you just start asking questions about how they're going and what's happening and what they're excited about in their business. Because pretty soon then they start asking questions about what you do, you know.
Exactly. It's one of the first things I teach my guys is, you know what, you know, you don't have to get out there and have all these sort of advanced marketing strategies. Just start talking to people, ask questions, you know, let them know what you're up to. And it's amazing what kind of opportunities can come out. And like you found, often the business owner that you're talking to, they don't own just this one business, they own multiple businesses. So don't, you know, discount someone just because maybe they own a coffee shop and you don't want to market for a coffee shop. They might also own, you know, a big industrial marketing firm or something like that, where, you know, there's a huge opportunity for you to add value.
Yeah, look, I prospected a coffee shop owner, and they owned a coffee roasting house, and so they, you know, their passion was their coffee shop. The roasting house was their business, you know. So they you know, and he became a client. So, and I've worked with him for about 2 years. So the thing with my process or my thinking around this business was that I guess for me it was about scalability, because once I started, if I was dealing with three clients on the scale that I was dealing with those three stories that I just shared with you, I'd be doing a lot of the work. I'd be designing the sites, I'd be overseeing a few things, I'd be developing, you know, sales copy, looking at their sales process, looking at landing pages, checking domains, doing the research. Once I got involved, if I was dealing at that level with three clients, that's about all I could probably handle at any one time. But knowing what I know and understanding about internet marketing, I realized that I could actually plug in services to support, you know, when I say services, using quality services that will create the outcomes that we've talked about for those clients. And all I would have to do is literally project manage the outcome. Right, so we'll project manage the service. And so, you know, to me now, I could probably sit there and say I could probably handle quite comfortably, I could probably handle about 15 clients at a time. Yeah. And that would be, and that would me be working a full 40-hour week, you know. You know, knowing what I know now, that's the difference. I set my targets pretty simple. I just said, look, you know, I want 40 grand a month. On the 31st of May, I did $65,355. You know, we're now in the about the 13th of June. What are we today?
15th
of June. Sorry, about the 15th of June. Look, you know, in the next, I'd say I'm recovering from the flu this week, so I've had a bit of a quiet week. But I would say within the next week, I'd be hitting well over the 100,000 mark. Because I've brought on another couple of strategies that I will share with a couple of clients that I've brought on recently. I don't have a website for my services, and I've never really had to. Mainly have relied on my LinkedIn profile as my business card. I do have a blog that I have online that talks about internet marketing and social media and strategies and stuff like that. But But essentially, if somebody wants to know about me, they can go to my LinkedIn profile and they can pretty much see the history. But the funny thing is, I sat there and I thought, you know, LinkedIn is such a business-focused or business-targeted community that it's silly not to just go and prospect a few people on LinkedIn. And on LinkedIn, they have an answers section. And so I look for internet marketing questions on the answers section. And so then I go and answer them. When I answer a question, I tend to answer it comprehensively. So I will find the best possible resource or idea or strategy with the question that they're asking and actually give them the idea or give them the strategy. And people used to actually admonish me for giving away my secrets. And there's a reason that I do that. If you give people away your secrets, I'll guarantee you 99.9% of the time, people just won't do it, right? Yeah. You know, they're not you. They don't know how you got to that understanding. They don't know how you got to the concept. They don't see the steps like you've seen it, you know, in the process. They see the idea in its full display in front of them and say, oh, look, I could probably go away and do that. But they still won't, because they're not thinking in that mode, there's no way in the world that most people will actually take action on that idea. So I will go and answer a question, a specific question, comprehensively, and provide a very comprehensive solution to that person. And I did that with a software company in Louisville, Kentucky. That's where the guy was from who asked the question. He was the CEO of a software company over there. And I answered a question. It was a question related around getting some PR online, essentially. And so I just talked about a whole process and a few strategies and, you know, set this off to him. And I got an email back virtually a couple hours later saying, you know, wow, this is, you know, the information here is fantastic and I really appreciate you taking the time and blah, blah, blah. And when he got back to me, I actually sent him, in my response to his email of thanking me, I sent him a little bit more that he could do with the strategy. And I said, look, if you need any help, you know, here's my Skype, give me a call. And so I left it at that for a couple of days and then I actually contacted him. So I found the phone number of the company and just gave him a call and said, look, hey, how you doing? I just want to quickly introduce myself. You know, we've been emailing across. How are you going with that strategy? And he said, oh, look, you know, we're not sure where to start, you know? And I said, well, you know, tell me what's going on. Why are you actually doing this? What are you looking for out of it? And is this really the strategy that you want for the outcomes that you're trying to achieve? And, you know, through those few questions, he realized that what he was actually asking was not what he actually needed or what he was specifically aiming for. And so he says, look, you know, I'd love for you to work on this project. And bang, contract. You know, really, it was a lead generation and client attraction strategy that he was after online, and he thought PR was going to be the way to do that, where there were other ways that he could actually quickly accelerate that process rather than relying on shotgunning PR everywhere.
Yeah, I grew my copywriting business. That was one of the strategies I used. Is I used to go onto different business forums and people would be asking questions about copy, and I'd go in there and give them a really detailed response. And, you know, knowing the psychology, like you said, that you can give them the best idea in the world, explain it, you know, as thoroughly as you possibly can, but they're not you and they don't have, you know, the years of experience you've got to understand all the little intricacies of why it works and how to apply it. And so by giving them the answer and giving them the gold nugget, they can see that you're the expert and they, you know, begin to know you and like you and trust you, and they come to you for more information. And that's exactly what happened to me. And then I would do the same thing. They'd come to me and say, you know, thanks so much for that. We'd get into a conversation. And most of the time it would turn out that what they thought they needed, like a new sales letter or an opt-in form or something, wasn't actually what they needed to get the result they wanted. And so rather than selling them just a sales letter, I'd sell them an entire marketing campaign where we were doing the opt-in page and the sales letter and the upsell page and the autoresponders and, you know, the whole system. And I'd take what, you know, might have been a $3,000 or $5,000 project and turn it into a $25,000 project. And it was it was work to do that. But I mean, to land those kind of projects, it's work you enjoy doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the second LinkedIn client that I generated was they do auto and trucking inspections for large fleets in the middle part of the United States, and the company was in Louisville, Missouri, sorry, Louisville, St. Louis, Missouri, Louisville. Yep. It was the same thing. He was asking for a very specific internet marketing strategy. I hopped on, had a look at the site, realized what the issues were with his business, and quickly wrote a response in the answers and gave him a pretty comprehensive strategy to walk him through a process. And he was the same, responded back saying, hey, look, thanks very much. It was really great. And I then followed up again, because I could get the phone call, the phone number off Skype, off the internet. I just gave him a call and say, look, how'd you go with that strategy? And that was the other thing, is that they were absolutely blown away that here I was in Australia following up in the United States. And so in that respect, it's like nobody's ever done this to them before. Nobody's ever taken that type of communication that one step further to see how things are going, you know? So, and they became a client as well. So, one of the things that keeps coming up, it's really funny, and I know you and I are both on a forum, but price seems to be a huge issue for a lot of people, or pricing, yes, of services. And I've never had a problem with price. I've never had a problem of charging big dollars for services. And so I guess in thinking prior to this phone call, one of the things I thought that I'd share is the pricing philosophy or the pricing idea, and why or how I rationalize high-end pricing for clients. Because I don't, you know, one of the things I believe in is that when you make an investment in something, if I'm making taking the thought into buying something at a high-ticket item, I look at it as an investment. You know, even though it may not be an investment, but I look at what value am I going to get out of it, and why am I, you know, if I'm going to invest this kind of money, is what I'm buying of that value, right? And so it's really funny. I don't get a lot of pricing objections from anybody that I've dealt with, both small or large businesses. And the reason why is it never comes into play for me, because when I go through a strategy with a client, I actually I'm talking about what their outcomes are, what they want. It's like they're actually helping me build the outcome. I'm not the one that's creating the outcome for them. I'm the one that's working with them on the outcome that they see in their head. They just need the steps to get to that outcome. And it really revolves around what they perceive the lifetime value of a customer is in their business. And in most cases, for a lot of businesses, especially businesses that are doing, say, $2 million or more, a lifetime value customer could be anywhere between, you know, $15,000 to $100,000. In some cases, it might be $1 million for a customer. So, and we're talking about building a strategy to attract those types of customers. So my question, you know, for some people, the rationalization of investment in high price services is, my question is, how many clients do we need to cover the investment in this service? And in most cases, I found, you know, in some businesses, it's only like 3 or 4 clients, and you know, the investment they make in my services is nothing compared to what they're going to be generating for the years to come. So my philosophy is that, you know, if we're going after $1 million clients, then we need to put in a $1 million strategy to make that happen, because $1 million clients need a little bit more information than just a 5-minute phone call.
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
There's more thought process going into it. So there's more strategy involved. There's understanding the buying points or the decision making points of the customer in that process. So if I talk to a client about, you know, we're going to focus on attracting these types of customers, when I come up with a figure of, you know, $15,000 for a website and a bit of SEO and what have you, you know, they're in their head going, well, you know, we're going to be, you know, I want at least 10 or 15 of these clients. 15 grand is nothing.
Exactly, you know? Yeah. And when you walk them through that consultative process where, you know, you're basically asking questions about their needs and their wants and, you know, how to get them the result that, you know, is in their own head. And then you combine that with showing them the lifetime value of the client, you know, getting them to understand that big picture. Price just isn't an issue. You know, we've obviously got very, very similar sales processes and consultative selling kind of approach. And I've had the exact same experience where price just isn't an issue. And I think mostly it's an issue in the consultant's head. That's where the problem is it's in their head. Their only experience with internet marketing is perhaps on forums where everything's sold for $7 and people are doing websites for $500. And if that's your only experience, and you know, you need to get outside your own head and get out there in the real world and realize just how much these guys are spending on marketing and advertising and stuff that doesn't work, and our stuff actually works.
Exactly. So it's, and it's funny you bring that up. I was recently reading something where somebody was talking about copywriting services, you know, at a certain price point, where if you look at the average sales letter in the market, and you're in the copywriting game, so you'd probably know more than I, but, you know, roughly $2,000 is about an average price for, say, a one-page sales copy. Anywhere between $1,800 to $2,500 would be an average price if you're dealing with a professional copywriting service. But if you went to an ad agency and asked them to do a full page of copywriting for you, it doesn't start with four figures. The number starts with five zeros in front. You know, they'll charge you $10,000 to $20,000 to $30,000 for a one page copy ad. So, you know, but people's perceptions is, oh, the ad agency's got all this research behind them, and they build all that value of who we are and how we do things, and this is our clients. And so people's perceptions is that much higher, because they know they're going to have to invest that many more dollars in the same service that if they went to a direct copywriter that would charge them $2,000 for the same piece of copy. But it's, again, it boils down to that perception of value. And I think the $2,000 copywriter in many cases undervalues what they're actually achieving with this copy, what the purpose of that copy is.
You know what? There's another end of that scale where, you know, some of these forums that I, you know, my students sort of eventually come to me from, they're not charging $2,000 for one page of copy. They're charging $500 for 12 pages of copy. You know, that's how little value many of these people, you know, see in their own services and what they sort of bring to the table. And I mean, that's why I tell my guys so much, you've got to get away from these kind of places and get out in the real world. Like you said, average people are charging $2,000 for a simple page of copy, and the big ad agencies, they charge a lot of money.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, and that's the other thing is with, I don't do quotes for people. I don't do exploration. I don't do tenders, and I don't do quotes. If I have to sit down and provide a document that asks people for an investment, that document is already an agreement that we're working on this project. Yeah. And the way is to position that a little bit differently. If people say, send me a quote, I say, look, I'm sorry, I can't send you a quote, and I don't do quotes. The whole purpose of this is you need something done. I'm happy to sit down with you and go through and develop a project plan for you and then look at the investment that you need to make to actually make that happen for you. And that's the process that we go through. But I don't do quotes. I don't do proposals. Quotes and proposals are explorations. If somebody asks for a quote, they're asking you for a price. And if they're asking for a price, that means they want to compare you with another price, basically. So when I work with a client or if I go down this path to engage someone, I always walk them through my sales process, and that is, let's work on your outcome. And this is what you said, and this is what you want, and these are the types of people that we're targeting, and these are the outcomes that we're aiming for, and this is the objective that we want to achieve, and this is the method that we're going to use to achieve that objective, and your investment in this process is going to be this.
Perfect.
And it's all about their objective, their process. This is their project plan. So even the documentation that I use, I title the document, Sydney Architect, the name of the firm, I put their logo in there, and it looks like a professional document that belongs to that company. It looks like an internal document, basically. Yep. Right? So, that takes 5 seconds. So I'll even go down to a digital copying place and get it color copied and use a thicker stock of paper so it adds weight. So it just creates a bit of a perception. And, you know, that document might cost me, you know, $15 to put together for my project plan for a specific client. And then I would have that delivered or couriered to that client. Or I would, if I was in the same city, I would deliver that personally to that client. And then walk them through that process. And so my conversion rates, pretty much sit at 90%. If it does come down to a no, it will boil down to, the fact that they feel that they can't afford it or whatever. But, it's really funny. I've never really had anybody say, I can't afford it. I always try and make it easy for people to buy. And that's the other tactic. If you come up, if I sat there and you know walked in with a contract and a proposal based on a you know having a conversation over a 3-day period where we've just met, and sat there and said here's $45,000, you know for some businesses to just go and write a check for $45,000 is going to be a challenge. So I always break it up and say here's your initial installment. To get it started and then and phase out the project that way. But the phases are all automatic payments. There's no invoicing for those payments.
And how do you actually take payment? Because that's a question I get from so many people. They just they don't know how to get money from clients.
Direct debit is the easiest because, you know, it's straight into the bank account. Yeah. I have used PayPal with time payment where it just automatically bills on credit card. Yeah. I did have merchant facilities, but I let that go because I think PayPal pretty much does it. There is software that I'm looking at the moment, which is that free invoice or free some. I can't remember the name. Somebody mentioned to me the other day and I had a look. It's an online invoicing system.
Okay.
That creates automatic payments. But I generally do direct debit, and then I'll actually set up a automatic direct debit payment from their bank account, from their bank to my bank. So I'll actually have a form or a letter that they can actually sign, give it to their bank, and then their bank automatically debits their account into mine.
Perfect. Yeah, I mean,
banks are easy that way.
Yeah, direct debit's really good. You know, PayPal has hiccups and things, and people don't often have enough money on their credit cards to be able to make the installments. But if they've got a business bank account, direct debit's fine. I mean, I always tell my guys, look, I'll take money however the client wants to give it to me. If it's in a duffel bag, you know, in cash, I'll take that. If they want to send PayPal check, you know, whatever it is, as long as the money's in my account, it's all good.
The other thing that also crops up for me, and this is where I think a lot of people miss out on opportunities, and I've actually been seeing this in the forum that we're on at the moment, where people are investing time doing video reviews and they're sending out information to people and you know they're waiting for people to watch things and how do I get people to watch what I actually give them. I used to do one of the things I used to try just to be a little bit different and to stand out is I actually used to do project plans or you know, proposals on audio CDs. So I would talk out a whole project on an audio and actually get them, you know, personalize the CD to say, hey, you know, listen to this on the way home, basically. Because I know people are busy, people drive, you know, they have a 40-minute drive. And I would open up with a CD saying, you know, hey, Frank, I really appreciate you playing this CD on the way home. But now that I've got you for the next 20 minutes, I just want to walk through, you know, some of the things that we spoke about, right? And so that used to work really well. But the thing was, is getting people to actually view your information that you actually send them. If you send an email to somebody that you've never spoken to before, I always follow that email up every time. And I generally follow it up within a 24-hour period. So if I send an email, 48 hours is as long as I'll leave anything. I'll always follow up with a phone call and say, hey, did you get that? Have you seen that? Because people delete stuff in their inboxes. They don't see things. You know, people's inboxes can be an absolute mess. But it gives me an opportunity to connect when I follow up. So I explain why I sent it to them and why it's important to have a view. You know, do you mind if I give you a call in a couple of days' time to get some feedback on the information that I shared with you is one of my taglines. So I will relentlessly follow people up, knowing if it's a client that's in my niche market, that I know has the potential to invest in my services, each time I follow up increases my connection with that person and it offers me an opportunity to either share or ask a question of that person. To give an example, the interior decorator that I brought on board just recently, I sent her an email. I followed that email up about 5 times before she actually took the time to read the email. On the fifth call, she said, "Let's sit down and have a talk." So, you know, on that fifth phone call, where presentation that I did with her, I was a warm person. I was no longer a person that she didn't know. The information that I shared with her was very specific to her business, and she liked what she saw. She certainly liked the ideas that I was sharing with her, and so the actual presentation itself was more like, you know, let's sit down and talk about what we can do. You know, it was an easy sale.
It's amazing how you know, how much people bond with you via your follow-up, even if they haven't personally spoken to you, you know, by following up with the email, following up via direct mail, you know, just the fact that you're making phone calls to them. By the time you actually speak, there's this kind of almost bond sort of through the universe with you that it is a much warmer conversation. You know, people come to me and they're like, oh, my marketing isn't working. And we look at what they've done, and they've done one cold email to someone. Yep. And they expect they're going to make money. I mean, you look at, just look at, you know, how much money you've made in the last 8 weeks. When you're looking at those kind of figures, you've got to be prepared to put the work in, put the time in, you know, be prepared to spend $15 to put your little proposal document thing together. You know, yep. Take an hour to burn a CD and pop it off into the post to them. You've got to be prepared to, you know, put some kind of effort in if you want to make, what is it, about $100,000 in 8 weeks? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it's we're hitting that. Well, I think by the end of Monday, we'll be over the ton.
Mate, that's brilliant. And look, there's one thing I do want to touch on. You know, it's obvious you're a pretty savvy guy. You know, this wasn't your first business. You haven't just sort of walked into this cold. What is your background? You know, what were you doing before you got into the offline marketing thing?
My whole business background was I consulted to businesses. I worked in the United States for a few years for a consulting firm that focused on strategic approaches to targeting clients for their business. And it was really funny. I think it was back in 88 or whatever, when I first came across a guy that you probably know well as Jay Abraham. And this was back when Jay was just getting big. So he was just doing the Federal Express stories, the big marketing stories that Jay talks about. Was when it was all happening. So I kind of just got into being exposed to some of that type of marketing back then. When I came back to Australia, I was so overqualified that I couldn't find a job. So I did the next best thing, and I employed myself as a consultant. So and I worked in providing skills training with sales training in retail. In the retail environment, and in that retail environment, it was about how do we get a retail floor salesperson to actually increase their average sales on a daily basis so that we hit larger objectives and larger targets. And so this was in the days when we did have a sense of customer service in retail, and it worked really well. And I started doing a lot of consulting for a lot of different types of business as well, because it transferred from retail, it transferred to service businesses or professional services, accounting firms. And then I sat there and I thought, there's no leverage in, again, the word leverage comes along, there's no leverage in working one-on-one or developing projects for clients. I'm better off building an entity that allows me to deal with dozens of clients. So I was very fortunate to work with... I found a partner to work with. I developed a marketing program that was very, very popular. We had literally hundreds of clients around the country going through the program. We developed how to prospect, how to advertise, it was going through the different strategies on how to market your business, basically. And we were providing a marketing support to businesses. And we had a revolutionary consulting strategy where I could sit down with a business for about an hour and pretty much figure out with just a couple of small changes how they could significantly improve their revenue and their profit of their business by attracting better quality customers, by increasing their sales margins, and by looking at ways of nurturing their clients to create a much longevity and generate more referrals for their business. So, you know, that worked really well. We had I was speaking all over the country. I spoke overseas. I kind of built up a bit of a notoriety around the marketing game, and it got to a point where I got burnt out. And marketing was changing as well. So the internet was starting to come along in the mid to late 90s. And so in many ways, I started doing email marketing relatively early, with targeting niche markets with emails and then generating sales. Or building lists and then generating sales out of email marketing. So I did a lot of that with clients. I sold that business. And then I sat there and thought, oh, you know, I'll go and sit down for a little while and take it easy. Nice. And I realized that got pretty boring pretty fast. So I did the next best thing and employed myself again. and then I looked at targeting specific businesses with sales process. So I could break down how a company engages a client for the very first time, how do they get into the client, how do they sell their services or market their services. And it's really interesting when you go to that depth of seeing how people actually do business with each other. And even to if you look even from a retail perspective, you know, how did that person come to your retail store? What piece of marketing? Were they referred? Do they walk past your door? Is it your physical presence that attracted them? Is it, you know, what is it that engages the customer to your business? If it's a professional service firm, most of the business professional service firms like accountants and lawyers, 90% of their business comes from referral. It doesn't come from specific marketing strategies that they employ to attract them. So it really is based on who they know and how they do their work. And that's the other thing is I find that, and you've probably experienced this several times yourself, is I would say in most businesses, especially service-based businesses, that I would say up to 70% of their business would come from word of mouth. And yet very few businesses these days have a system to generate word of mouth from their clients. So, you know, I find that it's very easy that once you work with people, if I deal with somebody, I don't give them one business card, I give them five. Because the worst thing they're going to do is hand it to somebody else.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I've never ever handed a single business card to a person. I've always handed three business cards to people. And I tell them why. I say, look, the reason I do this, I tell them a story. Often I find people refer people all the time. I'm referring people all the time. So I generally give people a couple of cards because I know that you'd like to keep one for yourself. But if somebody ever asked you about, then you'd be able to give that away. So I educate them to do exactly the same thing to people when they hand their business cards out. And so the idea is to generate more referrals. And it's amazing how many phone calls I get from cards from people, you know, that have handed out a card from somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, that's the first marketing system I teach my consulting guys is a referral marketing system. It's one of the first things I do for my clients. You know, we always want to build their business from the inside out. They always want to get more leads and focus on, you know, getting more customers. I always want to focus inside out, get the referral system happening, you know, make sure that they're doing upsells and increasing the lifetime value of the client, making sure they're charging the right prices. Those kind of really simple, you know, marketing 101 things are where like 80% of your profits come from, and they're so easy to do. It's ridiculous how simple this stuff is.
You know, the funny thing is I do a lot of traveling and I hire a lot of cars, and when I hire a car, I generally will hire a corporate type car, so it'll be like the larger business car, you know, let's say the Commodore or the Lexus or whatever. And people who hire the bigger cars are generally business people. So when I return the car, I always put a card in each of the sun visors. I put a card in the actual where the ashtray slot is.
Really?
And so I just leave it there. And I've actually had people call me back saying, you know, it's really funny that you left your card in the in the car. So I've had people call, you know, because the people that hop in those types of cars are going to be business people.
Brilliant.
And I do business with business people. So I went from doing direct response and email and working out sales process. I started dabbling in affiliate marketing online, thinking I want to create a passive income online, which didn't really work out for me because I started doing what everybody else does in internet marketing, is starting to buy a lot of people's systems that don't work. And I got caught up in a couple of launches that kind of annoyed me. I kind of annoyed with myself because their sales processes were so fantastic, where I ended up buying, you know, software that was a couple of $1,000. It was supposed to be turnkey. And you know, it was a turnkey to nothing, really. But, you know, like everybody, you get, you know, distracted by the bright, shiny objects along the way. And I sat there, and it's really funny. And it's like this business now with the way that I'm structuring my new consulting business, is that you need to pick one thing and you need to systemize that process and you need to see it through. And so I've decided that from an online point of view, I've picked some niche markets that I've developed some niche sites into. I've hired an outsourced team now that handles the search engine optimization and the content management for those niches. I've picked certain products that I market. And so now the focus is to build an asset rather than to say, let's put out a shot and let's see what happens.
and be hit and miss is to get really focused and say, okay, well, let's build this property. Let's look at what the market's worth. Let's look at building some authority here, build the site, whether that site becomes a site that generates a passive income over a period of time, or is a site that I would sell at a greater return on investment down the track. The idea is to build the assets properly. So to do that, I also realize that I need to make an investment, a strategic investment in that. So the offline consulting business supports the online passive income retirement fund. And so I'm pretty good at ranking sites. I've kind of learnt quite a lot through forums and listening and through stuff that I've bought and through just trial and error, like everybody else, I guess, in the IM game. And I think that... I think this model that, you know, when I listened to you, you know, and I said the penny dropped for me about scalability, to me, you know, business is business, and you need to treat it, you need to have a plan, and you need to, you know, treat it like a professional business. You can't piecemeal things, you know. Like I said, my plan was simple. I wanted 10 grand a week. And that figure was just out of the blue. That wasn't... you know, I wasn't sitting there strategically thinking this is what I need. I just thought that'd be nice, you know. Yeah. And I sat there and said, okay, well, that's, you know, 10 grand a week is 40 grand a month. That's $480,000 business a year. Now, if I look at my costs in terms of profit, I make sure one of the things that I love is high profit, low cost, right? That's the name of the game. If I can find something at a low cost and then sell it at a high profit, obviously the margins are more attractive and more healthier, the better the business is going to be. So my profit target, my net profit target is a minimum of 50% net.
Perfect. Yeah, that's good.
That's a minimum target that I aim for. So and it look at, I'll probably average out at around the 60% mark in terms of profit. So, you know, and then it becomes a matter of leverage. So building systems, and that's the other thing, is now I'm building systems around my prospecting systems. So I have a system around, you know, developing little niche sites for geo-modified local search markets, you know. So I've systemized that process. This is how you build the website. This is how you do the research. This is how you – all the plugins you need. This is a little video that you put up. Then we go and rank the site, you know. And so then I go and pay somebody else to go and do that.
And it's such a simple system. I mean, you've obviously got a lot of experience and, you know, a great track record and everything. But what I love about your approach is that it is a really simple prospecting system. Anyone with any level of experience can do it. The one thing I want to ask you, and because it's an objection that I always come across from people, and that is, you know, they don't have any track record, they don't have any testimonials, they don't have any case studies, no experience. Do you use that when you're talking to people? Do you sit there and talk about all your past history and case studies and success stories, or are you focused on them and their business?
I don't. It's really funny, and it's. I know. I had an idea or sense that you were going to ask this question. So, in terms of case studies, every business is different, and so if I sat there, like I have a plumbing client that I've had for. A year now, and they're, you know, they're a fantastic client, and we've done an enormous amount of work and have had a lot of successes with that client. I don't really share the successes that I've had with that particular client, and I guess part of me is that I don't really go into this is who I am and this is what I'm all about. I more go into, because of the way I talk to people and because I'm talking with a fair level of confidence and authority about their situation and what's going on for them. Those sorts of questions don't really come up. And if they do, you know, for example, with the architect, my evidence was I had a page one ranked website exactly where he wanted to be. You know, there is the evidence. If it really gets down to, well, you know, how do you get people to page one? Well, you can rank, a very low competition website on page one, go and build three little niche websites and rank them on page one and say, well, here's three sites that rank page one. If that becomes an issue, I've really never had the issue of having to share evidence. I don't even have a website for what I do. And people, you know, I've had one client say to me, say, look, you know, it's really funny. You teach us about all this stuff and you're working and you don't even have a website. And I said, well, I actually do, but I just don't use it. I don't need it. You know, my website is my LinkedIn profile. It tells people exactly what I do. So In terms of proof or evidence, you know, if you're going to build a business, and I believe, and I'm now, you know, going to put a little website up together for this particular business, so it has its own entity. I'll probably put a couple of case studies on there, so it gives some level of evidence for people if they want to have a look. But you know, it's not something that really comes up for me, and I think a lot of that stems from the confidence with people.
Yeah, look, I'm really glad you said that, because, you know, just for the record, this isn't a scripted interview. I haven't, you know, sent John a list of questions or anything, so I had no idea what the answer would that to that question would be. And I'm really glad you said that, because that's what I've been telling my guys forever, is that if you speak with confidence and you act like you are the authority, it doesn't come up. It just does not come up. And what I actually found is, you know, earlier on in my career, I thought it would be helpful to talk about case studies and success stories. And so when I started to get them, I would bring them up with, you know, prospects. And what I actually found is that raised more objections in their mind than it did help close the sale. Because, you know, like your plumber example, if I'm talking to a carpenter and I start to mention my plumber example, in his mind, he's thinking, well, that's a plumbing business and that doesn't apply to me and we couldn't do that in our industry and all these other things that may or may not be true. But it just didn't help to move the sale forward. It helped more to ask them more questions about their business, find out what their goals and objectives are, and just focus everything on that. And if you know, act like you are the authority and speak with confidence, it just doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, they you know, it's like and the other thing that really struck a chord, and this came out of watching that video for you, is people just don't know what you know about internet marketing. And I, you know, when I have a conversation with clients, I don't talk about internet marketing right up front. Internet marketing is purely just a medium or a vehicle to expose your business and attract customers to your business. It's no different to advertising in industry specific magazines or publications, or it's no different. You know, it is, internet marketing is just a tactic. It's not so much, you know, what it's all about. At the end of the day, the client is about, I need, you know, customers to come into my business and buy my products and services at the best possible margins possible. And I need those people to either come back to me as often as possible, and I need them to refer people just like them as often as possible so that my business can actually grow. That's basically what it's all about. How that happens, whether it be through direct response marketing, direct mail campaigns, email marketing, internet strategies, search engine optimization with organic rankings to attract traffic, whatever the tactic is, it doesn't matter. The idea is to find the most effective solution to the outcome that you're looking for. So for some people, you know, internet marketing for their business is not the right direction to go in. It might be direct response is the right direction to go in. So, you know, or there are certain aspects. And to me, it's like, you know, I guess if I was building a house, I can't build a house with one wall. You know, I need to, you know, that roof needs to be held up by half a dozen or a dozen. It's not the four main walls around the house that hold the roof. It's all the walls internally as well that are supporting all the joists that are holding up that roof. So in my business, for me, if I relied on one strategy to attract customers, then I've got one wall that if that wall doesn't quite work for me, you know, my roof is going to be on my head. So if I have four or five strategies at any one time, if I'm focusing my activity every day where I'm, you know, right now I've got about 15 prospects in my little funnel, right? I try to add two to three of those people a day in my prospecting sphere. You know, and so if I'm constantly looking at different ways, if I'm talking to people, if I remind myself when I have conversations with people to ask questions about, you know, how's their business going and what's happening and who do they know, then I'm always opening the door up to the potential for another client. So, you know, at the end of the day, the more simple systems that you put into place to open yourself up to opportunities, you will have more business than you can poke a stick at. And, you know, getting business is really, really easy. You know, the hard part is, you know, is now that you've got the business, you've got to go and do something about it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the part that you've actually got to go and do the work in. But, you know, I hear a lot of people who struggle with the whole prospecting thing. And, you know, I say to people, look, just go and talk to people. Like, just ask them questions about how things are going and what's happening and take an interest in their business. If you go to a networking function, and I'm not a really big fan of getting heavily involved in networking groups, but I do, you know, I've used them on many occasions to try ideas and strategies on. But I'll generally go to a networking group, and I'll probably end up picking up about anywhere between 5 to 15 business cards at any event. And I would have had probably about 4 or 5 conversations at least with people that I've shared a card with, yep. where I've asked them questions like, you know, how are things going? And, you know, it's really funny, but I, you know, and I use it like a story. You know, I have a little story that I tell and say, look, you know, one of the things I'm really fascinated about is how people target what they perceive to be great customers. And so they tell me what a great customer is. And then I say, look, imagine if you could have a door that you can open where just those types of customers can walk into your door. You know, and all of a sudden the gears start to tick over. And so I'll go away from that meeting and I'll have with those 4 or 5 conversations and I'll get back to them. Generally, I'll get back to them within, you know, 4 or 5 hours of that meeting with an email saying, you know, it's really funny when we spoke and you mentioned this and blah, blah. And I really thought about your business for a moment and here's some ideas that I think might interest you. Maybe I'll give you a call in a couple of days' time to just answer any questions you got. And there's, you know, they walk themselves into it.
And that's it. It's such a common sense approach. You know, I'm always telling all my students, you know, your main goal with your business is just to get into as many conversations with people as you can, whether that's, you know, going door to door or cold calling people or using direct mail or going to networking events, doing video reviews, whatever your strategy, your goal should just be to get into conversations, you know, whether that's following up by the phone or whatever it is, get into these conversations. Because once you have a conversation with people, I mean, just a couple of months experience in internet marketing and you know so much more than these guys. You can provide so much value. And if you come at it, you know, from a point of view of confidence and authority and sincerely wanting to help them, it's really, really easy to get clients. It's just not difficult at all, but you've got to put yourself out there. You've got to, you know, take action as, a, you know, such a tired phrase, but it's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, and you can make it very easy for yourself, you know. I've often said to people, like people, you know, I talk to a lot of consultants, and they have, you know, it's really funny. The consulting industry are some of the worst marketers in the world, because they're really good at what they do. They're brilliant at their specific niche, and they're brilliant at delivering great outcomes for their customers. And they're almost reliant. You know, when they get a client, they're in with that client, so they can only handle a handful of clients in most cases. And so once they get into a comfort zone, it's very difficult for them to think, okay, I've got to go and attract some more clients. So when projects start to finish, you get this feast or famine process starting to occur. So they're not constantly prospecting, but then they're sitting and saying, well, I've got to go and find the next client. And so all of a sudden there's this wall that comes up and is like, I've actually got to go and talk to people who don't know me. And, you know, and the silly thing is they talk to people every day of the week, you know, all day long. So it's, I think a lot of this stems from, I guess, what people have as a perception of selling. And I think that becomes a real issue for a lot of people. And, you know, selling's, we do it all the time. You know, the best metaphor I have for selling is if you have a partner, and especially if you're married, you didn't ask them to marry you on the first day. You know, the very first moment you met your partner, you didn't say, let's get married and build a life together. If you really like that person, you connected with that person, you engage that person through a process of dates and building a relationship and finding out. And then that person's also making a decision on whether or not you're suitable for them, because, you know, if they're sitting there saying, hey, is this the person for me over, you know, for the rest of my life? You know, will they look after me? Is there value in this relationship? Business and relationships is the same. And so, you know, it might take, for some people, it might take them 3 or 4 years to get to the point where they say, would you marry me? And that person's had enough frame of reference and experience with that person to say, yes, I want to spend the rest of my life with you. But you don't walk up to somebody in the middle of the street and say, I want you to spend $45,000 worth of business. Can we do that right now? You know, there is a finesse. You have to, you know, your bouquet of flowers is your business card, you know. So I think that people really get caught up in the whole idea of sales and selling. You know, I hear people say, "Oh, sales is it's a hard thing to do, and it's, you know, it's a grind." And, you know, if you have those perceptions about selling, then that's exactly what it's going to be. But if everybody thought that selling was a grind and it was hard, then there'd be no business. You know,
exactly. So, I mean, I had an interesting conversation with a lady one time. She was telling me how, you know, selling was evil and everything, and I asked her to explain to me, you know, why selling is evil. You know, tell me your point of view. And she spent about 5 minutes explaining everything. And I said, you know, you just realize you were just selling me on the idea that selling is evil. You know, you're using what you just said was evil. And they could see the gears in her head, you know, starting to go where she starts to realize that it's not this big evil thing. We do selling, like you said, every single day of our lives. And it's just, you know, we're providing value to people. We're doing good out in the world. We're helping them, you know, move to a better situation. It's a really positive force, and it's something that you shouldn't be scared about or worried about. It's just having a conversation and helping someone get a better result.
Yeah, and I think I can't remember who said it to me, but essentially selling is a conversation with a purpose.
Yes, I like that. That's good.
So I thought that was pretty apt about that.
Mate, look, this has been a fantastic conversation. I've been going for over an hour now. First thing I'd like to ask you, or one of the last things I want to ask you, is what would your advice be to someone who's just getting started? You know, they've listened to this interview, they're pumped up and they're excited, and you know, they're probably more confused than about what they should be doing or what direction they should be going. What would you do if you were starting over again today?
I thought about this before this interview. I think one of the biggest things is starting with the end in mind. Is, you know, I went back to my little plan, you know, what do I want, or what do I want to do? And so very quickly, my business plan is like half a page. You know, this is the amount of revenue I want to generate. These are the types of customers that I'd like to work with. This is the type of stuff that I'd like to approach those customers with. So you've got a very simple idea of what it is that you're actually going to be doing. You don't want to be doing too much or offering too much. And in many cases, people say, well, how do you know to offer SEO, or how do you know to offer website? Or, you know, I don't sort of go into a conversation saying, this is what I want to do with you. I've got a toolkit. There's a couple of things that I know. I have a website, I have SEO, I've got direct response, you know, I've got some bits and pieces, but, you know, I know internet marketing, but it's more about the strategy. So what I'm really selling is I'm selling the strategy for the outcome. So, you know, I've got my little plan. And so then it's a matter of, you know, going and focusing on a niche is probably the easiest way to do it. So if there's a business that you're really in, or an industry group that you like, let's say you like accountants. I don't know too many people who do like accountants. that's not to say. In actual fact, accountants are a fantastic niche market, because they can open the door to a tremendous opportunity with other clients. So with you, I'll give you that tactic. And if we use the accountants as a niche, I would probably pick, let's say, the 15 accountants within a 20K drive of your office, accountants that have the potential to invest or have at least half a dozen to 10 people in their offices. So they tend to be a little bit bigger than your average single type of accounting business. So businesses that I say $1 million and up, you know, 2 million plus in terms of their revenue, are going to have more than 10 staff working in them. And so they're the businesses that are obviously going to be spending money on marketing as well, because they've obviously got to grow and they're attracting clients. So if I chose an accounting practice, I'd be looking at 10 to 15 people, and then I'd be saying, okay, well, you know, right now most accountants attract their business through referrals. They don't do, you know, they're not very aggressive in their marketing. Because you're in the marketing game, one of the things that you do really well is market, and one of the things they do really well is be an accountant. So you can actually add value to their business by being the marketer for their business, essentially. So that's the approach or the thought process that I would take. And then I would approach them. I would look at how they sit online, where people are coming from, what are they selling, what are the different value propositions that they have to offer. And once you've actually seen a little bit and asked a few questions in the actual market, you start to get a feel for it. And then you can actually start to communicate the message in relation to their outcomes. So I would say focus on a particular niche, speak to a few people in that niche so you get an idea. You know, pick up the phone and act like a customer. Ask about their business and how they can help you as a business owner in some respects. Do a little bit of research that way. Do a bit of research online. Find out what their frustrations are is one thing that I often look for, is some pain points that they have. The biggest pain point for an accountant is time leverage.
Yep.
Most accountants charge on time. They still don't get this idea of project managing their clients. That becomes a real issue for them. And so, you know, they're sitting there saying, well, you know, the only way I can grow is to bring on more people to handle more clients. You know, that's their traditional model of thinking. You know, so I would, as I said, focus on a niche, look at the opportunities or aspects within that niche, and then approach them on that basis. Send some information, follow it up, have a chat. If you've got your own accountant, go and talk to your own accountant and ask some questions. You know, and maybe your own accountant can become your first client. And the other thing with that is go and, you know, do more than one thing to prospect. And if you are going to provide somebody with information like a video review or like an email with some information that gives us some ideas, make sure that you follow everything up, because I'll guarantee you that that is going to create a lot of sales for you. People don't expect to be followed up. It's amazing how many people don't follow up. I did some research and some statistics that it's really funny that 70% of the sales actually made by the fifth phone call, by the fifth or sixth phone call. Yeah. So those people that don't follow up, that give up after two or three phone calls, they miss out on 70% of the opportunities.
And there's a second part to that data, that, because there's been a few sort of studies done that have reported the same kind of numbers. And the other part that I heard is, you know, 70% of sales are made on that sort of the fifth call, and like 80% of salesmen know this, but they still only make one or two phone calls.
Yeah.
And so, you know, knowing the information isn't enough. You've still got to be willing to follow up five times. So, mate, look, I love your approach. It's, you know, so in line with exactly how my business runs and all the sort of lessons I've learned over the years. And I really appreciate your time today. It's been a fantastic interview. You've delivered ridiculous amounts of value. If people want to find out more about you, have you got a website or a LinkedIn page or something you want to tell them about?
Just check out John Logar at LinkedIn.com.
Too easy. All right, mate. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Kyle.
All right, bye.
Appreciate it.